Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. We are still going through the features of Ibadur Rahman, which is in Surah Al-Furqan, at the end of Surah Al-Furqan. Standards against which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have set a comparison for people to compare themselves against, to have a notion where people stand. And we have finished last time that about, we finished number five. They are, quickly, number one, they walk humbly on earth, so they have the feature of humility. Number two, when the ignorance address them, they answer with peace, and they don't engage into ignorant conversation, and they don't engage into ignorant arguments. And they spend the night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sujood and qiyam, sujood, doing sujood and standing for prayers. That's number three. And number four, they are scared from the punishment of their Lord, even though they are walk humbly on earth, even though they answer peacefully, even though they spend the night in prayers. Number four, they are scared from the punishment of their Lord and praying continuously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from the punishment of hellfire. Number five is that they don't pray with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another god. They don't pray to another god other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another god. And last time that was the feature that was addressed. And after the speech, a brother asked me a question. And I'm afraid that I might have said something wrong. So let me correct it. That the brother asked me a question about the sins that we do. Is it an association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And to make sense out of the answer, let me quickly explain to you the forms of associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first form is the naive form, which is somebody worshipping an idol and saying believing that this idol has the attributes of greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. This idol can provide things. And that person is asking idols to provide for him and to protect him and to cure him and all of these things. That's the naive form. And then the second form is the form where we called it the worship of the religious leaders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله, about the Christians who are taking their leaders, the religious leaders, as gods instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Hatim, the son of Hatim, asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we did not worship them, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam response was, who is the source of halal and haram? Who is the one that determines which thing, what is halal and what is haram? It's coming from where? Who originates that ruling? He said, they do that. So he said, that's what I mean by worshipping them. And then the third form of praying another god with Allah or associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the worship of the temptations or lower desires. When a person is at crossroads of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him to, in one hand, and on the other hand, when this person is being called to the guidance of Allah, this person will choose the guidance of Allah, this person will choose the lower desires and temptations, and then follows that and turns his back to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fourth form of associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is political bigamism. Political bigamism is when people are worshipping political leaders. Leaders who oppose Sharia. Leaders who oppose the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And there are people who support them. The least requirement is to reject them by the heart. There are people who support them. And there are people who fight for them. And there are people who work for them and, you know, struggle to enforce their power and to increase their power. Leaders who rule to the countries to the best interest of foreign powers. Leaders who, you know, work against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Dictators. Those who support them, this is called political bigamism. And we spoke about that. When you talk to them, they say, "Ana abdun ma'mur," I am the slave of my boss. And you go to his boss, he's a slave of his boss. They go to their boss, the slave of their boss, and you find shaitan at the end. And then the fifth form of paganism, or the worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the form of showing off. That the Prophet Muhammad said, al-yaseer min al-riya' shirk. That little bit of showing off is shirk. And that was our topic today. But before we get into that, let's explain the question that the brother asked. The brother said, if you commit a sin or you make a mistake because you are being seduced by your lower desires or by your temptations, would you fall under the category of associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is following أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Look at the ones who took as his gods his temptations and his lower desires, and Allah misguided him even though he has the knowledge. So he knows about halal and haram, and he knows about Allah and the Day of Judgment. Even though he has the knowledge, Allah misguides him and he chooses his temptations and lower desires. And the answer to that is no. That's not a form of association with Allah. The sins that you and me are committing, these are mistakes and sins. These are not form of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The form, we mean by this form, somebody who has a brain who is set to always think that way most of the time. Most of the time that person goes by lower desires and strategic interests instead of following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who has a framework of mindset, this is how the person views life, and this is how the person deals with life, and this is how the person calculates decisions and activities and positions of life. It's all based on that most of the time. It's not someone who's making a mistake here and a mistake there. And to give you an example of that, those people, for example, the bad politicians, who always, for example, give you a promise today, okay? And then they go home and calculate what they have said. And they discover that it's against their strategic interest. And so they go back and change the word. So they always, their brain mind is set to calculate things based on a strategic interest and based on, you know, whatever their temptations call them to. And then they change their words as they don't go by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a different thing. Now, the final form of associating with Allah, where Prophet Muhammad said, جُعِلَ شِرْكُ أُمَّتِي فِي الرِّيَاءِ, that the shirk of my ummah is in riya', in showing off. And showing off is shirk because the person is not working to serve Allah, to please Allah. The person is working to please himself or herself. The person is doing things to be a star, to be recognized as a person who is good, to be recognized as a person who is generous, to be recognized as a person who is a scholar, to be recognized as a person who wants, he's hungry for recognition, he's hungry for praise. When he does something, he turns his face around looking for somebody to feed his hunger and give, tell him, MashaAllah, you did well, MashaAllah, you know, you were excellent, MashaAllah. That is the person who's working to earn the acceptance and the praise of Allah, of the people, not of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, two people will do the same exact thing, the same exact identical thing. Two people are paying, for example, $1,000 in the same fundraising for the same cause. One of them goes to hellfire because he made the donation. And the other one goes to Jannah because he made the donation. What's the difference? One is doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is doing it to be recognized. You know, brother, okay, where's 6 o'clock news? I want 6 o'clock news, here we go, here's my check. Alright, 6 o'clock news is not here, no interviews. You know, these kind of things is the associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said in the hadith that there are four people that get thrown in hellfire first. The first one is a person who goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, I have taught people, I have done, I have taught all my life, which is a scholar of Islam. I've taught all my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're a liar. You have taught so that people recognize you as a scholar. Angels drag him on his face to hell. to hellfire. Then the second one goes to say, a martyr who died for the sake of Allah, who says that, Allah, I give up my life for your sake. Then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're a liar. You did that so that you're recognized by the people as a brave man who sacrifices his life for Allah. Drag him on his face and throw him in hellfire. And then, a third person, a person who spent all his wealth for the sake of Allah. The same thing. You did that so that people say you're generous. And you got your reward. One of the things that Allah tells them before throwing them in hellfire, Allah tells them, you got your reward. You were working so that people recognize you. And people recognized you already. So you had your reward. There's no rewards for you here. You got it. So go to hellfire. You know, you worked it for that and you got it. It's not for me. You know the first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari? The first hadith where Imam Bukhari has started, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That, and the scholars of Islam say that this particular hadith is one third of Islam that the other two third is not good without. If you practice the other two third of Islam without this hadith, it's not good. So that's why they say it's one third of Islam. It is that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Deeds are judged by Allah based on the intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Whatever you have intended to get, by doing something, you get it. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whomsoever immigrated for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, his immigration is for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٌ يَنْكِحَهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Whomsoever immigrated for the sake of marrying a woman, or for the sake of having a business or dunya, something from dunya, then his hijrah, his immigration, is his, the reward of his immigration is whatever he seeked in his immigration. It's not that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to, just reward him for something that he did not intend to get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And there are two worlds. There is a world of physical world where the actions and deeds are happening. And there is another world called the world of hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges by the world of hearts, does not judge by the physical world. So some people might intend to do things. They don't do it and they earn hasanat. So in the physical world, they haven't done anything. But in the world of hearts, they have done a lot of deeds and they earn hasanat. On the other hand, some people will do things in the physical world and they don't earn hasanat because the world of heart does not reflect that they are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a hadith about that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرْ. This life is for, the people in this life are four categories regarding the intentions. The first category, a man whom Allah gives money and knowledge, who is spending his money excessively for the sake of Allah. And the second one is another man whom Allah did not give money, but gave knowledge. So he has a strong desire to have money to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is envying the first one. And he says, I wish I have money, I would have done the same. And he's sincere in this intention. So the Prophet Muhammad used his two fingers like this and he said, فَهُمَّ فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَاءٍ. They are equally rewarded by Allah. Even though one earned money and the other one did not earn money. One spent money and the other one did not spend money. And you know, there are sins committed by the hearts only that does not require brains and muscles to act. You know one example of the heart sins? Envy. To envy someone, it's a heart sin, and that is, you know, a sin earned, even though there's no action that has been taking place. But that's a heart sin. Which is, you know, the other two categories is explained by that. The other two categories are two people. One of them, Allah has given wealth, but no knowledge. And that's the third one. And then the fourth one, Allah has given no wealth and no knowledge. The third one, whom Allah has given no knowledge, but wealth, he's spending his wealth against the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's spending his wealth to spread corruption. He's spending his wealth partying and serving wine or whatever, the evil deeds that you can use your money for.
And then the fourth one does not have money. But he desires and he wishes and he envies the third one. And he says, if I have money, I would have done the same thing. I would have spread the same corruption to, I would have made this, I would have made that, I would have thrown these parties, I would have enjoyed these lusts and lower desires and pleasures. Then the Prophet Muhammad used his fingers and he said, فَهُمَّ فِي الْإِثْمِ سَوَاءٌ. They are equally sinful. They earn the same equal amount of sin. And you know, I have seen that in places where, in Egypt, for example, I have seen that. I have seen a guy driving a Mercedes, parking next to a bad girl, and then he's inviting her to the car, and then she goes in, and then she rides with him in the car. And then he takes off. And on the other side of the street, there's a poor man who doesn't have a car. And he is so upset and say, damn it, I wish I have a car. I would have done the same thing. You know, that's the, okay. The first one, the Mercedes guy, maybe he got something. But the other guy is like the Prophet said, the poor Jewish person, the poor Jew. He lost this life and he lost the hereafter. There's nothing for him in this life, poor in this life, struggling and suffering. And pain, you know, pain and suffering in the hereafter. So he lost, everything. And finally, in conclusion, there is our responsibility to, we make two common mistakes regarding this issue. The first common mistake is that we judge intentions. And Allah is the only one who judges the intention. And I can take from your time, you know, about 20 minutes, just going through the evidence, but I will highlight the most important evidence when the companion of Prophet Muhammad was killing a man, and the man said, La ilaha illallah, before killed, and when he was in a position of death. You know, he was, you know, the companion of Prophet Muhammad was about to kill him. So he said, La ilaha illallah. So he said, oh yeah, right. And he killed him, because it was a bit obvious that he was saying that just to run away from death. So they went to the Prophet Muhammad, and the Prophet Muhammad spoke against that, and he said, did you cut your heart and to judge his intentions? So, and then the hypocrites, Prophet Muhammad forbade the companions from judging their hearts, and he just took them for their face value, for whatever they declare, and then he dealt with them as Muslims. Even though he had knowledge from Allah, who are they? But he wanted to set up the rules. So that's the first mistake. We're not allowed to judge intentions. The word of the heart is only visible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't claim attributes of Allah by judging intentions. Then the other common mistake is that sometimes we encourage showing off. How? By coming to a person and praising that person in face. And this is indeed forbidden, because it's against the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. A man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he praised another person in his face. So Prophet Muhammad said, لَقَدْ قَصَمْتَ ظَهْرَ أَخِيكَ. You have broken the back of your brother. The man said, why Prophet Muhammad? Why did I break his back? He said, if he feels pride because of your praise, then you have broken his back. Because number one, he lost his deeds. Number two, he goes to hellfire for you know, feeling proud of what he did and then taking pride of himself. And instead of referring the good deeds, the source of goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he thinks that the source of goodness is himself. Instead of referring the knowledge to Allah and His Messenger, he thinks that the knowledge is because of himself. And instead of referring the blessings of wealth and whatever he's doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he thinks that it's the source, that he is the source for that. So that's a mistake. It is not correct. It is forbidden to go and praise a brother for something good in his face. Don't do that. Because it's again, it's, you are encouraging him. Or you're putting him under a test. The least is that you're testing that person, because once you say that, there's a natural feeling that comes to the heart, which is the feeling of pride. That comes to the heart naturally. There's, Allah does not judge by that, because that's a natural response that, you know, we are, Allah does not judge by. And everybody would have this natural response. But Allah judges by what comes next after that. If this person starts to feed that bride and grow in bride, then that person is liable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if this person kills that desire and stop it and put it under control, then this person is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a test. It's a test of submission. Why do you put your brother under a test? Don't put your brother under a test. It's either that nobody needs to more tests than he or she is already having. This life is full of tests of submission already. And we're failing some and we're making it for some. No one needs one more test of submission.
So are you saying that Sayyidina Muhammad never prayed to a Muslim for a good deed?
No, he did. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But behind the back.
Yeah, after behind.
Sayyidina Muhammad never praised the Muslim to his face for a good deed?
He did. For purposes. For certain purposes. Yes, he did. For certain purposes.
It makes sense that what one would encourage a Muslim brother or sister for their good deeds.
Yes.
Not to
true.
Anything but so.
I was coming to that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. The only situations that you are permitted to praise somebody in his face, if it's a new Muslim or a young man, okay, who is doing something good, and he's shaky, okay, he's shaky in starting up, and he's not really into it. So you praise him for the purpose of encouraging him, just like our brother here said. That's the first purpose. And then but if somebody is, you know that this person is proud of himself, or this person might get proud of himself, or this person does not need the praise. Thank you. He doesn't need it. Okay? Keep it for yourself. Then you don't go and do the praise. And that's why the Prophet did two different things that you might think conflicted. One time he forbade the guy. He said, if he bribed him into you, qasamta dhahra akhi, you've broken the back of your brother. Because the Prophet Muhammad saw that for this situation it's not right. And in another situation, he saw that this person needs an encouragement. Or this person needs, like especially in the battlefield, this person needs an energy from the Prophet Muhammad to be able to face the challenging situation, the very difficult to challenge the situation that he's going to be going to right away. That is it. That's the reason.
How about now, the situation with Uthman ibn Affan when he donated all his wealth and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for doing so? I don't think he needed any reassurance or...
Right. That falls under the fourth situation when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sure that praising that person is not going to hurt. Because that person is way above and beyond praise. Like, Uthman ibn Affan, whether you praise him or you don't praise him, it's even. And this high status is very difficult to achieve nowadays. And even though there are no guarantees, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had certain knowledge that those guys, he gave them 10 people, he gave them the news of Jannah when they are still alive and walking on earth. One of them was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet Muhammad knew that this is not going to hurt him. Now behind...
I can answer his question. It all depends, like you said, on the intention that you have. That it becomes clear, if you want to praise someone, if you're not praising someone, it all depends on what your intention is and how you feel about the other guy, if you're praising him, and that determines, whether it is haram or halal or right,
right
or wrong. You can't categorize it. It depends from case to case.
Right, exactly. But however, to be on the safe side, don't. To be on the safe side, don't, unless you determine that there is a reason for it.
Yes. As the brother mentioned about the intention, yes, there's maybe I have a right intention to praise you, but then if you, because of my right intention for my praise, if you take that to the head, that's the same thing, So.
But at least you will not get the guna or the sin for that.
No,
because
I'm
your intention, Allah judges by your intention, like he just now mentioned. No? Allah judges, the first thing is the heart.
No, but Prophet said that you're breaking your brother's back. He was not criticizing, that you're doing the sin. He was saying that you're breaking your brother's back. That means, you are not doing something good for that person.
But that was not your intention, was it?
Even if you're not your intention, but you created that problem.
The path to hell sometimes starts with good intentions.
Good intentions?
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because people with good intentions can do very harmful things. And, the Khawarij, at the time of Prophet Muhammad, they had excellent intention and excellent worship. Yet, the Prophet Muhammad said they go out of religion like an arrow penetrates through an animal and goes out from the other side. So the intentions sometimes lead to wrong. Good intentions with ignorance leads to wrong things. But it is the person. It's up to you to make a call that if this situation is good for praise or not. And if you cannot determine,
don't make it.
Then don't. Yeah. If you're not sure, don't.
You are the best versus mashallah. I mean, I prefer mashallah. I don't see where the problem to say something good, mashallah.
Yeah. Nobody said there's a problem. I said determine based on your knowledge of the situation, knowledge of the person. Determine, do your best in determining. If you can determine that this thing is not going to hurt the person, or this thing is going to encourage the person, or this thing is good in any way, like you are giving him an energy for a challenge that he's going to face, and you're encouraging him there to be able to face that challenge, or you think that's not going to hurt him, then it's okay. But other than that, if you cannot determine these to the best of your knowledge, then don't.
I think the best form of prayer probably to make a dua
for him,
for that
yes.
person, you know.
Exactly. Like, to make a dua.
I can say that, Mashallah, I think you will be in a position to handle this job of imamah. I think you have the caliber.
Right.
And the energy and the enthusiasm and the knowledge to carry this job of the imamah.
That's another example of a situation where it is good to praise.
Yeah.
Like invite somebody to apply for a job or invite somebody to play a role. Like the Prophet said, I will give this flag to someone who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger love him. And that was in the battlefield. And he gave it to somebody and he told, go forward, don't look back, to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said, go forward, don't look behind your back, and fight the enemy. So the Prophet had a purpose for saying that. And then for Uthman, there was a purpose of encouraging other people to donate. مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانَ مَا فَعَلَ بَعْدَ هَذَا. It's not going to hurt Uthman. Whatever he does after that, he's going to Jannah. That's it. His deeds, his bad deeds are all forgiven. And that was to encourage others to donate. So there was an encouragement situation. And so forth. So, but if there's no reason, don't. If there's no reason, don't. Behind the back of the person, you know, you can praise him if he's being backbited. One of the reasons you praise somebody behind his back, also, again, same thing apply. Like, determine to your best judgment whether it's necessary or not. If that person is being backbited by others, and you're defending him, defending his honor behind his back, then you say, no, this person, no, he's not that what you're saying, he's this and this and this and that, and then you start praising him. That's permissible. So again, this is based on the call. But it is something that you don't want to do unless you're sure that what you're doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.